All right, I guess you made an announcement that we're going to meet back at 4:30. Okay, then I will do something I think the Lord wants me to do. This section, I will try to go through chapter 10, maybe 11, we'll see how time goes. But I think the Lord is wanting me to read each chapter. It's His Word. It's powerful. And so we've read so far, I think, all the chapters. And so we'll start off with doing chapter 6. And then maybe I might throw in a comment here or there. I do have, what I have is an outline, and I was really nervous on just doing a survey of Revelation. And, of course, I've got like 5 volumes of notebooks to go back and go through detail by detail through the book. Let's pray again. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, what a wonderful name. The name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. And so we thank you again for your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit would continue to bless and open up your word as we look at this terrifying subject of the tribulation. God, have mercy upon our souls, have mercy upon our land, have mercy upon this world. And again, any without Christ, that they would see the seriousness of not receiving Christ as their Savior today. There's no promise of tomorrow, not even another promise of another hour. So I pray to the Holy Spirit to show them to surrender their heart to Christ now, repent of their sins, get right with God. Thank you now for your word. May your word accomplish that which you please. Bow before you again, needy, asking you to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Anoint with your Holy Spirit our ears to hear, our hearts to feel and understand, our mind to comprehend. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, chapter 6, the first 6 of the seals are open and God's judgments begin. It describes what happens when the earth is, when all these judgments are unleashed on the earth in the first 3.5 years of tribulation. In case you just came in the service here, we have the great Tau beginning. In the beginning, God created the earth, and you have all the way up to Christ coming on the tan towel. Actually, it's pretty dark tan, isn't it? Anyway, represents the coming of Christ, all that He did, and His 33 years. And then after that, from the brown towel is the church age that we're in now, and the striped towel is what we're talking about up to the white towel, which is Great White Throne Judgment. We're talking about the period between the striped towel and the brown towel being the tribulation period, which primarily is what the book of Revelation is really focusing on. The first 3 chapters dealt with, first chapter with John seeing Jesus Christ, and then 2 and 3 with the 7 churches, which this book was addressed to. And I don't know what they thought about all this. We can sort of get a little bit more put together because of the technology that we have. But I don't know what they would have thought about. And so 4 and 5, we've just covered that with seeing God on the throne, Christ on the throne. And so I'm just going to read chapter 6. And so you begin to get a feel for these judgments in the first 3.5 year period. In the middle, I should have something to mark the middle of that, in between the striped towel and the brown, there's a 3.5 year period. So we're in the first 3.5 years in this judgment, with these judgments. Verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were, and remember He was the only one worthy to open the seals, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the 4 beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And remember, there If we were, say, if I come back later on and we wanted to keep going through Revelation, there's a lot of details. These symbols mean something. They teach something. And so, three. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. There's been a great slaughter of Christians going on as they trust Christ. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was besides the death of those getting killed with the judgments, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now, we've gone through these judgments, and there's more. And then there's a pause thrown in and talks about the 144,000. And so let's read about them. Chapter 7 just gives a preview of there's celebration going on in heaven after we get done with the 144,000, and we get more details of what happens to believers on the earth when this sixth seal is dealt out. And then the seven trumpets come out of the seventh seal when it's open. And the last 3.5 years, when we go into that, is what I said, it's just going to be a horrible time. But let's look and see what God does with Israel in chapter 7 now. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. I guess this is where guys get the idea that the earth is flat. Anybody ever heard of that? The earth is flat? There's people that actually believe that. They believe there's all kinds of deception. I think they're deceived. But God has a message just by the four corners. And I saw another angel ascending from the east and having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Later on this afternoon, we come back at some point, I'm going to give you prophecies of this tribulation period that was given in the Old Testament, starting in Deuteronomy and coming up through Isaiah all the way up. It's amazing that God prophesied and predicted this tribulation period. When I read these things, you're going to say, wow, I never realized that. That's what I said. Wow. I never realized there's these prophecies. Isaiah had a bunch of them in there. So we're up to chapter 8. Chapter 7 now shows the sealing of these 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and they're going to preach the gospel just like we're supposed to do. They're going to preach the gospel during the last half of the tribulation. And we had the introduction into all the souls that were killed during the tribulation. They have died for Christ, because a lot of people are going to realize, I believe after the rapture, whoa, I am not saved. I was left behind. I thought I was. And it's going to be a shock. Better to do it today. And so chapter 8 now, the seventh seal judgment. We're up to it. In the seventh seal is the trumpet judgments, and they come out of this seal. And so the seventh seal judgment is the seven trumpet judgments. You got that. It'd be nice if I could do something with the technology to show you. So chapter 8. This describes the opening of the seventh seal, which is what? What comes out of the seventh seal? The trumpet judgments. Very good. You'll be ready for the exam at the end. Okay, I never did like tests, because they showed how dumb I was. Right? You're laughing over there. You know? I was a visual learner, and 90% of the stuff was auditory, you know? So while the teacher's talking, I'm off fishing in the bayous. All right, ready to go? All right. So this seventh seal is the opening up of the trumpet judgments. And there's seven angels are going to be introduced. they're going to sound these seven trumpet judgments. And so Revelation 8, 1 through 4, we have the golden censer of the prayers of the tribulation saints, which is going to introduce the trumpet judgments as God's answer to prayers. Look at verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. We're at the beginning of the tribulation, at the midpoint now. 3.5 years have gone through, and now the next 3.5 years, time of Jacob's trouble, it's going to be bad, and you're going to see how bad it is. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before God. What is the primary purpose of the church? We're to pray. And out of our prayers, God gives direction what we're to be doing in our lives. But so many times we have church and there's hardly any prayer, especially on a prayer meeting. It's okay to have Bible studies, but don't forget to pray. And pray real prayers. Just talk to God. You know, you wouldn't believe some of my prayers. I'm talking to God. You know, I'm just talking to him like he's right there because I believe he's right there. He says, you know what a raunchy guy I am. I am vile like Job. I'm a flea like David. I'm just dust like Abraham. Just tell him. He says, I know. Have mercy. I have to have your Holy Spirit to lead. The old Boudreaux in me, he's ready to jump out anytime. I've got all the capacity for road rage as anybody else. Lord, have mercy. We are continually to come before God for mercy. And, you know, if you find a perfect church, we all know, don't go there. You'll mess it up. We're just human. We're to have love one another and forgive one another and bear one another. And some of us need more bearing with. And so this is the way God designed us to be a body. You need your arm. You need your eye. You need your toe. And like this. So you need each other. But the thing that I help you get along is to pray together. Hard to fight each other if you're praying together. So keep praying. We need a lot of the mercy of God and the grace of God on us because we're a bunch of rascals. And if you don't like it, just be like sometimes somebody will say to me something like this or whatever, and I'll say, I resemble that. We resemble the old man to ourselves, and we have to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's pretty simple. It's just hard. It's just hard. Paul said he had to die daily. So if he had to die daily, the day we forget to die is the day that Jesus doesn't live through us. So he died hour by hour. Okay, let's look at 5, all the way up through 9 and 21. We're going to have the 6 judgments are blown and the resultant judgments occur on the earth. So there's a lot of reading of the Word of God. I just feel like just to read the Word of God, there's blessing comes from it. Just to read the Word of God. Do you guys ever want to preach a pure sermon? Just get up and read the Word of God. This is why Keith Daniels has been so powerful in his ministry. It's just the Word of God has come out of him. God gave him ability after he got saved. Maybe you heard him. To do that, he gave him a miraculous ability to quote books of the Bible. Verse 5. Let me do 4. I don't know if I did 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and called and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now we go into the first trumpet. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and it was, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life and died, and the third part of the ships was destroyed. Just reminds me of this huge asteroid out there, way out there, saying it's going to come close to the earth. Who knows? Could you never know what's coming, but they see it out there. Verse 10. Excuse me. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Wormwood, you can go back to Deuteronomy 29. I think there's a reference to that. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, as the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Many believe this is just demons. They're demons coming upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. I'll take that back. Maybe they really are locusts, since they're not to hurt the trees, which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh the man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them, about 2 million, of this army of men coming from the east towards Israel. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents, and had heads with them. They do hurt. So maybe John's seeing some kind of a modern technology tank type something. Who knows? And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols and gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Pretty bad days. Horrible judgments, these trumpet judgments. Now at this point, between the 6th and the 7th, there's a pause again, and you have chapter 10. 10 describes an announcement in heaven by an angel that God is about to complete his plan with the sounding of the 7th and final trumpet. And so chapter 10 goes into some more details that God has given us about things. Let's keep going. And I saw another mighty angel come down. This angel and the scroll, he's got a scroll. He's going to predict the judgment of the seventh trumpet. It's going to be sweet and bitter. Isn't that interesting? I guess like sweet and sour. Okay, let me see. 13, 14, better hang on to that. Okay, let me keep going in 10. 10:1 again. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no more. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book, which is opened in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. All right. You can see why Revelation is a hard book to understand. But if you get in there and you study, as I'm going through here, I got things flashing in my mind. Tell them about this. Tell them about that. But we won't get through the whole book if I keep stopping and going and sharing extra things here. Okay, now chapter 11. What time do we start? We start at 11:30? Okay, then I go to 1. Yeah? You can go to 1. I'm going to stop before that. All right, let's do one more chapter here. And there's quite a bit here in this chapter. But chapter 11 is going to describe two miracle-working prophetic witnesses. Maybe we ought to just quit, though. You want to keep going? All right. I'm enjoying just reading the Word of God. Isn't that blessing you? How often do we get that? Yeah. Okay, chapter 11, we're gonna look at these two miracle-working prophetic witnesses that God raises up to preach during the last half of the tribulation in the heavenly celebration at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And so 1 through 14, these two miracle-working witnesses, they're going to preach the gospel for 3.5 years. And then they're going to get killed. And there's going to be a great celebration on the earth. Well, they're celebrating in heaven. This seventh trumpet, the final series of judgments. So let's go 1 through 14, then 15 and 19 be another little section. Ready to go? Okay. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar of them that worship therein. This is what I said yesterday. That temple is not there right now, but it's going to be. And when the tribulation period comes and this false peace comes in, this Antichrist comes, the Jews are going to be able to build their temple. And these boys can build fast. They can do amazing things. It's an amazing nation. And they have all those materials ready to go. And they have continually had the red heifer without the spot ready to go for their sacrifice. Amazing things laying out there. Okay, and there was given, verse 1, 11, given me a reed. I already read that, didn't we? Let's do it again. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar in them that worship therein. So the Jews are back there worshiping in their temple again. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, 3.5 years. You go to Zechariah for this next one about the two olive trees, Zechariah 4, I think it is. And there are two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire pursueth out of their mouth and devoureth. What's he saying? These are the two olive trees, these two prophets. They are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. So you can't mess with these preachers. You know, street preachers today, they get harassed. Their rights are taken away. They can be on a public sidewalk or street and preach the gospel and be hauled off to jail. And that happens every week here in our country. But these guys, if the police come up, they might become burnt toast. You just leave them alone. So they can preach, and God's going to deal with you if you try to stop them. So 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And I can't explain that to you. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, by the way, testimony is an interesting thing to do a study on in the book of Revelation. 19:10 says the spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do you have a testimony? I remember in my first church in Wyoming back in 1975, I had a wheat farmer, and it was wonderful. I could go out and we could do it all, everything except plowing and rod wheat and plant sow, and he had a combine. He could get it, reach back and get some wheat and eat it. But we were in a little small town, one small town nearby. We went to visit with somebody and talking about the Lord. When we walked away, I never forgot this. He turned, he looked at me, and he said he had no testimony. So when I listen for people to talk, ask them if they're a Christian or whatever, they go all the way around the world. There's a lot of them, their grandfather or great-grandfather was a Methodist preacher. That's how they're going to get into heaven. But I listen, do they have a testimony? Do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony being born again? When your life changed, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Do you have a testimony when there was a change in your life? You turned from darkness to light, from loving yourself, loving the world, to loving God and loving the Word of God. Do you have a testimony? If you don't, you better get one. You won't get into heaven without a testimony. If God was to say to you today, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? I've heard all kinds of things. I should write a book on all the things when I ask people this question, you know. And then many of them, to give me all these answers, and I said, you didn't have the right answer. You're not trusting the blood of Christ for your sins. Oh, yeah, I believe that. Why didn't you tell me? It's in your head, not in your heart, because that's the heart of our testimony, that Christ died on the cross for me, forgave me of sins, and I was born again. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. It's Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindreds, let's see, how far is it going? Through 14. They of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in grave. So they're flipping out their iPhones, their Androids, and they got their computers, and they're seeing all of this. You just wonder, John's thinking, the Christian's got the, what in the world is he talking? How's everybody in the world going to see this? No problem for us. No problem at all. 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. And because these two prophets tormented them that dwelleth on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And so that's this, two men. 15 through 19 is the seventh trumpet. It's going to be sound, and the 24 elders are going to celebrate God's power and sovereignty, which is about to be displayed. They're on the winning team. Verse 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants and the prophets and to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So at this point, there's going to be a pause in the judgments in the narrative, and some key players are going to be introduced in chapter 12. He's going to go through some things, and we'll pick up there, the Lord willing, this afternoon around 4:30. Let's pray. This is your word, the holy word of God. And you have promised a blessing in chapter 1 and verse 3. If we would read, and if we would listen, and if we would obey your word, we thank you that it has fed us as much as we can comprehend of it. And you have 7 blessings in this book for us. And so we ask that you would bless us as we study your word. And as we see more of Christ, and as we begin to see this drama of this demonized, deluded devil called Satan, the dragon, Apollyon, fighting against you, God, thinking that he's going to become God. And as he sets himself up to be worshipped as God, we thank you, Father, that you've given us a way out of this stuff that's going to come ahead. It's hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to see it all. It's just almost unbelievable. And we take it as literally as we can. Then the rest of it, we have to say you've got some symbolic lessons. So we thank you for your word. Pray for your blessing on our time here this afternoon. And ask you to bless the food and the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.